Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you. What a string of beautiful days we're having. This is why we're all here. What could be better than this weather? So, on behalf of this weather, a gift, I hope you had a great night's sleep. I hope you closed your eyes, and when you awakened, you didn't know where you were. I hope you slept that deep. I hope you bounced out of bed. And I hope you got up when the telluric currents were at their strongest. Say 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m. From 3 to 6 a.m., the Earth's currents are the strongest. It's when the meditators meditate. It's when the saints pray. It's when the animals hunt. It's when life begins. Those of you who like to rise 8, 9, 10, well, it's better than nothing, but that's not quite the moment. So I hope you rose at about 5, 6 a.m. Soon we're going to turn the clocks. Ahead. And so when you get up in the morning, there'll be more sun. 6 o'clock will be sunny pretty soon. I hope then as you bounced out of bed, you got in the car and you went somewhere. I hope you went to a secluded area, the ocean, the forests. Out here in Southern California, always as they plan their cities, they devoted large segments of green grass and tall trees to parks. And I hope you know where your parks are. I hope you know where your ocean spots are. I hope you have something designated in the early morning which you can immerse yourself in. And I hope that in that process, you baptize yourself. A baptism. Each morning, that exercise you do, whatever that exercise is, in whatever environment that is, it's a baptism. It sets you for the day. Now, you've got to bring your body into that. You can work the head, but the body often doesn't follow. The two are in a reciprocity. Body and mind. So you can skip everything I said and take 10 or 15 minutes to compose yourself, however you do it. And that's better than nothing, of course, but that really isn't the point. The point is you have to have a way to use all the gifts of nature to bring your body to the point where you can really connect to that higher piece of yourself. Now, in that moment, the scientists go into your blood and measure the chemicals flowing in the blood in that moment as you baptize yourself each morning are filled with endorphin, enkephalin, maybe even dynorphin, depending on who you are. In other words, there's a physiological effect of the morning ritual that's measurable through science. This is why health should really circulate around the endorphin. It's not that you have cancer or you have a disease of some sort. It's can you generate endorphin? Endorphins do it all. The relationship between endorphins, stem cells, the ability of the DNA to repair, all these core, fundamental, vital, crucial processes in an inexplicable, incomprehensible reciprocity with each other. All optimize during your endorphin rush. Your endorphin rush. So do you have an endorphin rush? Did you have an endorphin rush today? Or was the day so lousy, even though it hadn't even started, that you didn't want to get out of bed? You see where I'm going with this. What we call health is about what I'm talking. In addition to which, there was breakfast. Breakfast is, and I have to bring this up, and I have to focus on what you call breakfast. Is breaking a fast. What fast is that? The six-course dinner you had the night before. People crack me up. They have some sense of what a light dinner is, and a light dinner is a piece of salmon with a salad. I wouldn't feed that to my dog for dinner. The salad's going to grate the inside of your intestines, even to the point where you bleed. And the salmon, once it's cooked, it's barely digestible. I know you just cook it rare. Go find a high-end piece of Nozawa sushi, sashimi, where you don't even have to chew it. You can just compress it between your tongue and your palate. A real piece of high-grade wild salmon, cut thin, in the way that fish should be respected. Cut thin. It melts in your mouth like butter. Fish is like butter. When fish is really an optimal cut, it dissolves. Can you imagine that? I know. You're just having that nice piece of salmon for dinner with the salad. That's not a fast. That's not breakfast. You can't have breakfast if you didn't have dinner correctly. In fact, perhaps you can have breakfast if you didn't even, if you even had dinner. Think about that. Breakfast. What did you have for breakfast? How did you break the fast? What fast? The light dinner? Oh, yes, the piece of salmon. See, my point is you can't have breakfast unless you have no dinner or a real dinner. And what does that come down to? It comes down to, it should melt in your mouth. Food, dinner, if you even have it, should melt in your mouth like butter. That's digestibility. No, man, we got to chew it. Got to chew it. Had a woman in the office this week and avowed, you know, she's a health food person. She knows what she's eating. She's just about destroyed her life with that knowledge. Because she's trying to chew like a cow through fibrous grain. And she's bloating herself. And it is the harshest thing you can do to your body. Try to chew through fiber, always unsuccessfully. Anyone that knows the pleasure of truly digestible food understands that whether it's brown rice or this new groovy thing, quinoa, and the rest of it, these are fibrous grains. And you have to be careful, especially at night. Because the body doesn't want that burden at night. So let's just suppose you did skip dinner. And let's just suppose, after you baptized yourself in the morning, you ingested something that dissolved like butter. Well, let's say you had three eggs sunny side up, put a little butter on the skillet. Nothing ostentatious, nothing complicated, nothing that takes too much time to make. I guarantee you it'll dissolve in your stomach. And now you're meeting your day. In what environment will you meet your day? You've successfully slept. You've successfully broken the fast. You've successfully baptized yourself in some form of nature. And now it's only 7 a.m., 8 a.m. And you're ready to begin your day. That work environment, the chair you sit in, the things you do, the uniform you wear, the light you're subjected to. Have we looked into any of it? Even if you had to spend your own money on the chair. Does the chair contour you, or do you have to contour to the chair? Does the seat in the car contour you, or do you have to contour it? Throughout the day, there is a burden to the doing of your life. And if you analyze it, you can come to it with an ease. So if you're off to work and you analyze each of these facets, you can see by 12 o'clock, you may have exhausted yourself, not because you did anything creative, not because you did anything productive, but because you're really fighting the ritual you've created around your work. The car seat. The electromagnetics of the car. What we've really done, if you analyze it, what we've done is settle. And so you'll say your car seat is fine. Sure it is, until you sit in a caddy. You'll say the desk you work at and the chair you sit in at work is fine until you get a very high-end piece of equipment. Go to Relax the Back store. Purchase yourself a real office chair. One that molds to you. Then there's the lighting. You know, Equinox, one of my Equinoxes just did something horrendously stupid. Some idiot from corporate came in and said it's too dark in the weight room. Now, the weight room in Equinox is the whole place. It doesn't have a weight room. It's like a large office flat, like in downtown, the lofts. You know, they're 20,000 square feet. Anyone that's been in Equinox understands that. The only thing that's partitioned is the bathrooms. And somebody came in and decided it was too dark in there. And instead of using natural light, the sunlight, which would normally come through the window, and when there was too much, you put the shades down. With no rhyme or reason, you put the shades down. Someone did, usually incorrectly, but that's not the point. You had a space that used sunlight, and somebody on orders from corporate came in and turned the whole place into one mass of fluorescent light. So I put up with this for about 2 weeks, and then I went into one of the little rooms there, and I said to one of the clerks there, I said, you know, is anybody coming in fairly soon to change the lighting? Because you've turned this place into a large bathroom. It looks like a bathroom now. And they looked at me kind of funny. And I looked at them kind of funny. And I said, surely someone must have said this before me. And this one thing went on back and forth. And finally, I found out enough people had complained. That made me happy. But here's my point. Even if you do the morning right, the minute you come to work, you're hit with things that are going to kill you. And light is huge. If you have the option to replace that light with your own light, you do that. Don't lease an office. And if you have to, figure out how to get the windows open. And of course, if you're in shackles and you're a corporate slave, and you have no choice but to suffer, well, then you have to absorb that and compensate it in other ways. But at least recognize the fact that what you call a productive life is under assault when you're bathing yourself in fluorescent light. And if you don't have a choice, compensate yourself. And if you do have a choice, get creative about that choice. Because from the car, which may not be designed for you, to the freeway experience, to the chair at work, which may not be designed to you, to the clothes you have to wear, that's another thing. The clothes you wear are generally torturous. A belt is a torture. High heels are a torture. I had a woman here the other week. It must have taken her 5 minutes to take all the garbage off on her body. I mean, it was absurd. Each ear with 3 earrings. Then there was the nose ring. Then there was the belly button ring. Then there were the tattoos. Then were the things on the wrist. Then there were a couple of things around the neck. And God knows what else. It took her about 5 minutes to get all the garbage off. Add to that the dye in the hair. Add to that the makeup. This is self-deprecation. We ought to be working in our pajamas. You ought to be in a robe. We have to come to terms with this. Because what's happening when you get sick, when you fall into that hole, and someone's trying to tell you that a different diet, a different cleanse, a different herb are going to lead you back to nirvana, what you've created for yourself is an entire lifestyle from A to Z, from soup to nuts. Every single step of the way is all wrong. And this is where we have to be looking. But not too many people look there. Generally, your doctors are dispensing therapies. And generally, you, the public, are addicted to your lifestyles. And between the fact that the medical piece doesn't want to look, and I don't mean the medical doctors, right? We understand that. I don't mean the medical doctors. I mean the holistic practitioners. They're looking to dispense their therapy. You're not looking at what you're doing. And between the two, over time, there are so many pieces of your day. In fact, almost every piece of your day that's working against your health. And this is the issue. You have to have a morning baptism and an environment to support it. And then you have to have a work environment to sustain your strength. Do you have air at work? Do you have fresh air? Are you closed off? Can you even open a window? Think about that. It's a little sick. And if you did open the window, do you have air? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have an air purifier? Have you gone out, saved up, or bought an IQ air purifier? Something dynamic. A real good purifier. Does that run in your office? Do you have one that doesn't make noise? Are you pumping low-grade oxygen into the room? Have you taken the fluorescent lights out? Oh, they won't clear it. They won't do it. Do it yourself. Get up on a ladder, take out the fluorescent light, and put in the full spectrum light bulbs. Or don't use anything up on the ceiling. Bring your own lamps in. Yeah, I know it's a lot to consider, but there is a slight wisdom to simply saying, look, if corporate's not going to pay, I'll pay myself. Because this is where you live 40 to 60 to 70 hours a week. Now we're changing the terrain. Then, of course, you can get fancy. You can buy prisms. You can take the prisms, make sure the light hits the prisms at different times of the day, and constantly diffract the light to keep this sort of rainbow effect in the room. Or you can change the color of the lighting. People respond to color. Everyone responds to rainbows. These are not absurd things. These are absolutely critical things. And then, of course, through the day, as that body tightens, do you have 5 or 10 minutes You know, if you watch animals, animals throughout the day, no matter what they're doing, stop and they stretch. Now, they stop and they stretch. You've got animals that you incarcerate in your home. You have animals. Watch those animals. If they're fortunate enough to be outside most of the day, which is hopefully the case, it's wonderful when you watch them, because what they'll do periodically is stretch different parts of their body. You will see them dig in and go into those joints. Now, are you doing that? Can you do that periodically? So when you consider the day after the baptism, through the ritual of the day at work, can you periodically just take 30 seconds and do what your animal does? Reset yourself. Because the payoff, if you start your day the way I'm suggesting, right up to 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whenever it might be, the payoff of that is enormous. Because you're building your energy. By 10, 11 o'clock, your creative force can be massive. And then, of course, at some point along the way, you begin to fade. Hunger sets in. Now, hopefully, you're ketogenic. Hopefully, your blood sugar is balanced. Hopefully, you're in some stage of physiology that allows you to feel the hunger rising, but at the same time, enjoy the even keelness of your body. In other words, your blood sugar is not low. You're not dysfunctional. You're not bloated. You're not gassed. You're not in digestive pain. Your stomach's just empty and the hunger signals are going off. That is when you hit your big meal. It's when you hit your big meal. And that big meal, if possible, should be in solitude. And that big meal should be when you consume your protein and your fat. Because that's when your biliary system wants fat. That's when your hormonal strength is high. And that's when it's time to recharge. Now, if you do that correctly, if you're a vegetarian and you do that correctly, if you're a meat eater and you do that correctly, that food should be dissolved within 30 minutes. It shouldn't be there. And you should be sucking in the strength. And you should have the physical experience of feeling nourished. And it should relax your body so that you can hit the next 6 or 7 hours. Now, that's a ritual that will provide for you. It's based on all these nuances, from the lighting to the air to the seat to your ability to do what your animals do, to the fact that the food should dissolve in your body, to the fact that not breakfast, not dinner, but midday is when you hit the meal. All these are the nuances. They really don't cost you a lot of time. They really don't cost you a lot of money. They cost you an understanding. You have to understand a process that collectively then puts you in a position of high leverage when it comes to starting to get into the more complicated exercises of health. Whether you are really and truly engaged in the fasts, in the banya practices, in the interval training, in the advanced isolations of yoga, whether you're involved in those or not, is not my point. My point is that the daily experience from the time you awaken is the time to accumulate leverage or a preconditioning for the more complicated events of health. Without this, the more complicated events of health will fail you. We're not seeing that. Our culture at large is not conditioning itself for health. It's not analyzing its lifestyle. And thus the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.